Father, thank you for your word, how clear it is, and how encouraging it is. And right now, Lord, we want to give your word our full attention. I pray, Lord, that you would use it in a mighty way this morning to encourage your people. Lift up our countenances. Encourage us in the faith. And then, Lord, if it be your will, according to your will, if there would be anyone here this morning who doesn't know you, who hasn't come into a personal relationship with you, that you would draw them to yourself this morning. Pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A few years back, I got myself a new pickup truck. And for weeks afterwards, my two little boys would call it the Star Wars truck. They'd say, "Daddy, we love your truck. It's the Star Wars truck." And I couldn't figure that out. It's a pretty cool truck, but it doesn't look like anything that they drive in the Star Wars films. So I asked him, I said, why are you calling this truck the Star Wars truck? And they said, "Well, you said it was a Toyota, right?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a Toyota, so what?" And they heard Toy Yoda, that character in the Star Wars films. And so they thought it was a Star Wars truck, something that maybe Yoda would drive around, I guess. So they read into that a much deeper meaning than was actually there. Well, there are some passages in the Scripture that do have a deeper, under-the-surface meaning to them. If you look and pay very close attention, there are passages in Scripture where there is an obvious surface-level truth that you need to understand and obey as a Christian. But in that same passage, there can be a deeper meaning to it that you also need to understand and obey. And that's the case with what Jesus did in the upper room when he washed the feet of his disciples. There's an obvious truth to what he did. We studied that last time together. Jesus was modeling for us in the upper room servanthood, wasn't he? And the obvious lesson to us was that we are to serve one another as Jesus served his disciples in washing their feet. But there's deeper meaning to what Jesus did in the upper room when he washed the feet of his disciples that I'd like you to consider this morning. Notice the exchange that Peter and Jesus have as Jesus comes to Peter to wash his feet. Look at verse 5 of John chapter 13. It says, "After that, he, Jesus, poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Like, no way. Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a whole bath then.'" Peter, that man of extremes, don't you love him? Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." Verse 7 tells us clearly that there's a deeper meaning to what Jesus was doing here. Notice, he said to Peter, "What I'm doing, You do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter, there's a deeper significance to what I'm doing right now. That's what Jesus is saying. Peter, you don't have the capacity right now to understand the deeper significance of what I'm doing. Peter, there's coming a time when you will understand the deeper significance to what I'm doing. So there's a deeper meaning. And that last part of verse 7 could be translated literally, but you will know after these things. So Peter, you don't know what I'm doing right now. There's a deeper meaning. But you will understand at a later time after these things. Now the question is, what things? After what things would Peter be able to understand? Well, I believe it's the things that would take place over the next several days. Jesus, that night, will be betrayed. He will be arrested. He will be handed over to the Romans. He will be crucified on a cross. Jesus will die on the cross. He will be buried. And then on the third day, he would be raised again. After his resurrection, he would show himself to his disciples multiple times. Then there would come a moment where the disciples would watch Jesus with their own eyes ascend to heaven. Then the disciples would go back to the upper room in Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out. The church would be born. And I believe that it was after all those things that Peter and the rest of the disciples could then only really, really comprehend what Jesus was modeling in the upper room when he was washing their feet. See, if you're going to understand the significance of what Jesus did in the upper room, you've got to understand what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ accomplished. And what that has provided for us. That's key to understanding. And Peter and the rest of the disciples would eventually get it. I think the key to understanding is in verse 10. Notice very carefully what Jesus said to Peter. He said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean." Now, there's two words that Jesus uses that you need to understand. The first one is that word bathed. He who is bathed. Now, that's the Greek word luo. And that is the word that speaks of the full bath. The complete and total cleansing of the body from head to toe. The full cleansing. In the scripture, that word is used to speak of how they would prepare a body for burial. First, they would scrub the body from head to toe. Then they would apply spices to it. Then they would wrap it in linens, and then they would place it in the graves. It's this full head-to-toe body. This speaks of, hopefully, what most of us did before we came to church this morning. And what we do every morning, hopefully, what do? We get up and we hop in the shower and we wash ourselves from head to toe. It's that full bath. And the tense, though, that Jesus uses here is very curious. The tense indicates that it's a one-time, once-and-for-all bath. So it's like he's saying in verse 10, "He who has once and for all been washed all over from head to toe." That bath. Then there's another word that you see used in verse 10 and also really throughout that passage that we just read. It's the word wash. He who is bathed needs only to wash. Now, wash is the Greek word nipto, and it means really to sprinkle, to splash, to pour. It speaks only of washing a part of the body. Not the whole body, but just a part. In fact, Jesus used that word nepto in John chapter 9 when he healed the blind man. Interesting healing technique, spitting on the ground, right? Making mud, smearing it in the eyes. And Jesus said, go wash, nepto, your eyes out in the pool of Siloam. He didn't take a full bath, just splash it on your eyes. That's nepto. The word is also used in the Gospels to speak of the ceremonial cleansing of hands and washing of hands before mealtime. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, anoint your head with oil and wash your face so that you won't look like you've been fasting. Again, nepto, in other words, freshen up. Jesus is no doubt referring to a situation that they all faced in those days. In the ancient times, they had public bathhouses. Your house in ancient times didn't have a shower. There was a public bathhouse. And so when you went to take your bath, you went to the public bathhouse. And there you got fully bathed and ready for the day or the week or the month, depending on how often they bathed. And after they got their bath, they'd have to walk back to their house in sandals on dusty trails. And what would happen to their feet? They'd pick up dirt. So when they got home, it wasn't necessary for them to take a whole bath, right? Just wash the feet, and that's basically how we do it. We don't take showers before every mealtime, do we? Imagine if your kids had to do that. They don't even wash their hands, right? You get that one bath, and then for the rest of the day, it's only necessary to wash parts of the body, maybe the face or the hand. So Jesus is saying to Peter, you have already had the one time, once for all, cleansing bath. It's not necessary for you to be bathed again. It's only necessary for you to have your feet washed. That is such a significant thing. That brings up a very, very important spiritual truth. What does that bath signify? Well, there is no doubt that the bath speaks of salvation, conversion, regeneration, getting saved. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to this earth to offer himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He was sent to be the Savior. He was sent to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And the Scripture says that when Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was placed on the cross, all of the sins of the world were placed on him. And he died for all those sins. He paid the price. He experienced the wrath of God when we should have experienced it. He paid the penalty. And then he rose again on that third day, very significant, proving that Jesus Christ has defeated death. And also, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is highly significant in that it proved that God in heaven accepted his sacrifice at the cross. So Jesus has accomplished it. His sacrifice has been accomplished and received by God. And through what Jesus did at the cross, he has opened the way for us to get right with God, for sinful humanity to get right with God. Because of what he's done, he has made it possible for us to be converted, regenerated, saved. And the glorious news, the glorious good news of the New Testament is that if a person is willing to come to God, admit their sin, and ask Jesus to be their Savior, at that very instant, that person is converted. Regenerated. Listen, folks. The person who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that very moment, they get the one time, once and for all over spiritual bath, which makes them totally clean in the eyes of God. The person who puts their faith in Jesus Christ has all of their sins washed away. All at that moment. If you've placed your faith in Christ, if you've asked Him to be your Savior, all of your sins have been washed away. Past, present, future. Think of it. Every sinful word you've ever spoken. Every sinful thought. Every sinful deed, all of it completely and totally washed away. What a bath. Amen. From head to toe. Listen to some wonderful scriptures that affirm that wonderful truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says to the church there, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Bad news. But then he goes on to say to that church, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You place your faith in Christ and you are washed, regenerated. In Titus chapter 3, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus is said to be the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it speaks of what God the Father says of somebody's sin who's placed their faith in Jesus Christ. To that person, God would say, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Amen? Amen? The moment you place your faith in Christ Jesus, all of your sins are washed away. And my friends, that is what I believe separates the Christian faith from every other religion. It is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a works-oriented religion. Several years ago, there was a great parliament of religions held in Chicago, and practically every known religion was represented there. And so there were lots of lectures and different sessions. Well, during one session, Dr. Joseph Cook of Boston took the podium. And he said to everyone there, he said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce to you a woman with a great sorrow. Blood stains are on her hands, and nothing she has tried will remove them. The blood is that of murder, and nothing will take away the stain. She has been driven to desperation in her distress. Is there anything in your religion that will remove her sin and give her peace?" And a great hush fell upon the gathering. Not one person said one word. Raising his eyes heavenly, Dr. Cook, then looking up, said, "I will ask another question. John, can you tell this woman how to get rid of her awful sin?" And then he looked up as if listening for a reply. And suddenly he cried, "Listen, John speaks. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Quoting from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Not a soul broke the silence. The representatives of Eastern religions and Western cults sat dumb. In the face of human need, they were without a message of hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ alone could meet the need. The sin of the race demanded the blood of Calvary. And that blood has been shed. Jesus died on the cross for the sins and of your sins. And if you placed your faith in Him, it's all washed away. I love that wonderful hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's what the bath signifies. Salvation. The complete and total forgiveness of sins. And the Scripture also teaches that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, many other wonderful things happen as well. The person who places their faith in Christ has a radical change in their standing before God. Because that person is thoroughly and completely washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they are allowed and permitted to enter into an intimate relationship with God as sons. The moment you place your faith in Christ, you become a child of God. But as many received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, that's John 1:12, that happens at the moment of salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 to Christians, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." When you place your faith in Christ Jesus and you take that bath, you enter into a relationship with God by which you're allowed to call Him Daddy. Scripture says that when you place your faith in Christ, you're placed in union with Christ. You're identified with Him. You're hidden in Christ. New Testament teaches that when you place your faith in Christ, you become a brand new person. Right then. You're given a new nature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are born again. Scripture says more and more and more. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside your body. At that moment. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you place your faith in Him, at that moment you become a citizen of heaven. Given eternal life. That very moment. And all of that comes by faith in Christ. The bath only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And you either have it or you don't. You've either been bathed or not. John said in 1 John chapter 5, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Have you placed your faith in Christ? Have you had the bath? And again, remember, it's a one-time deal. It's a once-and-for-all event. You receive Christ and it's done. It happens. You've been bathed. Peter, in this passage, I believe, demonstrates a faulty way of thinking. Look again what he says in verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter is saying, "Give me another bath." Jesus said, "Wait a minute, you've already had the bath. You don't need another bath. I run into Christians a lot, quite often, who have a hard time with their salvation. They think that they need to be saved over and over again. Some Christians feel like, well, today I'm saved, but tomorrow I might not feel like I'm saved. And there's a lot of Christians who really struggle with that issue. Am I saved? And then they'll raise their hand at church service every time to receive Christ, to place their faith in the Lord. Listen, the Holy Spirit didn't stutter when He said regeneration. He didn't say, regeneration. And you do not have to be born again, and again, and again. That bath comes by faith in Jesus Christ, and if you've done that, you've been bathed. And you say, well, Terry, how can you be so confident on that? Because it all depends on the work of God, not my work. Salvation comes by the supernatural work of God. He's the one who bathes us. He does that work. It's based on what He did at the cross. Our responsibility is simply to believe. There was a visitor who asked an old bedridden woman who said she was trying to be a Christian. He asked her this question, are you trying to be Mrs. White? She said, no, I am Mrs. White. Well, how long have you been Mrs. White? Ever since this ring was put on my finger. And then he said to her, that is how it is with me. I do not try to be a Christian. I have been one ever since I put out my empty hand and received Christ as my Savior. It's all about God. It's all about what Christ did at the cross. It's all about the shedding of the blood of the precious Lamb of God sent from heaven. That's what gets you saved. Christian faith is not about earning salvation. The Christian life is one of rejoicing in the salvation that God has freely given through your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the bath. That's what the bath signifies. That's the deeper meaning that Jesus is meaning. Okay, what about the basin? What about niptho? What about the washing? Jesus got up from the table and He poured water in a basin, and He went around the table and He washed the feet of His disciples. What is the significance of that? Well, it's actually pretty simple to understand, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not profound. Here's the deal. As Christians, we are born again. We are in a relationship with God. We are new creations. We have been bathed fully. Our home is heaven. But here's the deal. We still got to live the rest of our life out here. It's a pilgrimage. We still have to walk through this life. And you know what happens when you walk through this world? Your feet get dirty. And they need to be cleansed regularly. How does our feet get dirty? Well, I think in a couple of ways. You know, as Christians, we have the bath, but we're walking in a filthy world, aren't we? It's a dirty world. It's ugly out there. And there's a sense, just as Christians walking through this world, we get polluted. We pick up defilement. We walk out into this world and we hear ungodly things all the time. We hear people cussing. We hear people blaspheming God. We hear all sorts of human philosophies. We hear gossip. We're always hearing such dirty things. And then in this life, as we live our pilgrimage out here, we are exposed to many unholy images. Things that we see. Maybe on TV or in the movies or wherever you might look in advertisement. And then we're exposed to the ungodly behavior of those people that don't know the Lord. Many of us work with people that don't know the Lord, and they can be very mean and nasty. Wicked. Ungodly thing. And then as Christians, we walk through this world and it's a fallen world, and we see pain and we see suffering, don't we? We see all kinds of things that can hurt us. We see all kinds of pain. And that can fill us with despair. That can discourage us. Your feet gets dirty. And you know what? You need to get those feet clean every day. There's another issue that we as Christians have to deal with, and that is sin in our life. As Christians, we still sin. As Christians, we still do things that we don't want to do, or say things that we shouldn't say, or think things that we shouldn't. We treat people in a way that we shouldn't. Sometimes we treat our spouses the way they don't deserve to be treated. We make mistakes. Why is that? Why is that true of a Christian? Though they're born again, though they're perfect in the eyes of God, why don't they become perfect and live that perfect life after salvation? Wouldn't that be cool if you could do it? But why can't we? What's the deal? Well, yes, we've been given a new nature, but again, the New Testament teaches us that in this pilgrimage, we still have the old nature to deal with. There's the old sinful nature. When we get to heaven, we won't have to deal with that sinful nature anymore. Amen? Amen. But in this pilgrimage, we have to deal with it. There's a struggle. We blow it. We sin. I love what one young girl said as she was being examined for membership in a local church. She was asked, "Has Christ made a difference in your life?" And she replied that he certainly had. Then this deacon asked her, "Well then, do you sin anymore?" The girl admitted that she did. "Well, if you sinned before you were a Christian and you sinned since you become a Christian, how has Christ made a difference in your life?" Can you imagine a deacon asking that? The girl thought for a moment. And she said, "Sir, I think it is this. Before I was a Christian, I ran after sin. Now I run from it, though sometimes I'm still overtaken." I think that perfectly captures the struggle that Christians face. Now, when you become a Christian, there should be a change in your life, and there's something called sanctification, where you're becoming more and more like Jesus, and you're to live and walk more and more according to the Holy Spirit, and you should see growth. I believe we should all be able to say, like John Newton, who wrote that famous hymn, "Amazing Grace," "I am not what I ought to be, I am not what I wish to be, I am not what I hope to be, but by the grace of God, I am not what I was." So there's a continual growth. But listen, when we sin, when we blow it as Christians, gets the feet dirty. And the feet need to be clean. They need to be washed off. So, how do we get those feet clean? What basin does the Lord use? Well, there's a couple. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Christ is still washing the feet of His church. And you know how He does it? Through the Scripture. The Scripture washes us. It cleanses us. There's something about this book that cleanses your thoughts. It cleanses your life. It changes your priorities. See, it's true. We go out into this world and there's a whole lot of junk out there, isn't there? There's a whole lot of garbage. We're walking through and we get grime on our feet. But you know what? If you can go to the Scripture and have a good time in His Word, it washes you. It really does. There have been times in my life where I've had such a horrible day. Been out there and seen so many ugly things about the world, or seen stuff on the news that gets you depressed, and you feel dirty and you need to be washed off. And have you ever been in a place like that and then opened the Bible and having this wonderful truth in God's Word wash over your thoughts? Purify you, change you. I think as Christians, it's important that we all have daily foot washings. Daily exposing ourselves to the Scripture, because it washes you. It gets those feet that collect the dirt of this world, wipes that away, and it keeps you focused. Now, the other way we get cleansed, the other way we should apply this is through the confession of our sin to the Lord. Now, as a Christian, when you do sin, when you do make a mistake, it's important that you go to the Lord and you admit it. And that you confess your sin to the Lord. And that has a cleansing effect to you. That's what John said in his epistles. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So here's the deal. When you blow it, you need to go back to your Lord in prayer. And confess that to Him. And ask Him to cleanse you. And let's please understand what's going on here. As a Christian, you have salvation. You are born again. You are a child of God. You have a relationship with God. You are in union with God. And when you sin as a Christian, it doesn't break that. Every time you sin as a Christian doesn't mean that your relationship with God breaks. Your fellowship with God can break. It doesn't break your union with God. It can impact your communion with God. Unconfessed sin in our life, it impacts the fellowship that we have with God. It impacts our communion with Him. It impacts our sense of partnership with Him. It impacts our joy in the Lord oftentimes. And it also impacts our effectiveness in being used for His kingdom. And so it's very important that daily we're coming to the Lord. We're admitting those shortcomings. We're getting those feet washed. You know, it's true. The best way to understand this is in human relationships. It works the same way. There can be relationship that never changes, but the fellowship can change. My sons will always be my sons. Always. Nothing's going to break that. That union's going to always be there. But there are times when fellowship between son and dad, not all that good. A couple weeks ago, Connor and Dylan got in the mother of all water fights. It was ugly. They got those, you know, those super soakers. Have you seen that? And they just drenched each other. Now, usually, that's great. I don't have any problem with that. I love that. But Kim and I took exception to what they had done a couple weeks ago. For you see, they decided to have that water fight in their bedroom. After we had tucked them to bed. We don't have any idea how they did that, but we didn't hear them. But a couple hours later, we walked in to just check, and we almost slipped on the pool. The beds were sopping wet. All the electronic equipment was dripping. Books, paper, and there they are asleep, like they're sleeping like they just got out of the shower. It's funny now, but you should have seen the look on Kim's face. I'll never forget that look. They're our sons. We love them. But at that moment, the fellowship between mom and dad and the two boys was strained, to say the least. There was an issue. And you know how that had to be resolved? Through confession. Through Connor and Dylan coming to mom and dad and saying, "We're sorry." It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. Listen, when you blow it, when you make a mistake, when you sin, you don't lose your salvation, but you need to come to your God as your Heavenly Father, as a son and as a daughter. And say, "Forgive me." And you know what happens every single time? The Heavenly Father washes your feet. He restores you. And He reminds you once again of the blood that was shed on the cross so that that sin could be wiped away. Isn't that wonderful? So that's where we live as Christians. I think it's such a very, very important lesson to understand. Appreciate the bath that you've been given. Appreciate the salvation. Understand what that means. But then make it a point. Make it part of your spiritual walk to be getting those foot washings regularly, being in the Scripture and getting the defilement of the world washed away, and coming daily to your Heavenly Father and praying and asking Him to forgive. And by the way, the New Testament knows nothing of making confession to a human leader. Making confession to a priest. You know, Jesus Christ is our high priest. You can go straight, as a Christian, you can go straight to the top, man. There, you don't have to go through any other mediator. Christ is your mediator. And you go straight to Him. Confess your sin, washes that away, all afresh, and that fellowship is restored. Great picture in the upper room, isn't it? The bath. And then the feet washing. There's a great picture of it that you find also in the Old Testament. If you read in the book of Exodus, it talks about how the priests of Israel were ordained to the ministry. When a priest became a priest, they were ordained, and the first thing that would happen to them is they were bathed from head to toe. Just thoroughly scrubbed. They had fire hoses back then. They'd be watered down with the fire hose. Just scrubbed. And then blood would be applied to them. And that would happen on the day of their ordination, never to be done again. But then throughout the course of their ministering as the priest in the tabernacle, there was a laver. Little basin. Where they were required often to wash their hands and their feet as they were serving the Lord. That's a picture. That's where we're at. Perhaps there might be a Christian here this morning who has really been struggling with salvation. You haven't been assured of your salvation. Oh, I hope you understand about the bath. It is the power of God. It has nothing to do with you. It's your faith in Him. That gives you the bath. You're saved. Rejoice in your salvation. Perhaps there might be some Christians here this morning that are just going through a really, really dry, uncertain time in their spiritual walk, and maybe you've sort of lost that sense of joy. Could it be? I'm not saying that it is, but could it be that you haven't had your feet washed for a long, long time? You're not going to the Scriptures regularly like you used to. Or there's a whole lot of unconfessed sin in your life. Perhaps that's what you need to do this morning. You need to come clean with the Lord. Come to your Heavenly Father. Tell Him you're sorry. Repent of what you've been doing and return to Him. And He will wash your feet. Perhaps all of us as Christians here this morning need to be reminded that that's a very important part of our walk as Christians, that daily cleansing. That daily getting the feet washed. Perhaps there might be some here this morning that need the bath. You know what? It can happen right now. I would love to lead you in a prayer. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, He died for you. He rose again. Scripture says if you will place your faith in Him, you will be converted at that moment. You will become born again. And that offer goes out here, right now, this morning. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Would there perhaps be anybody here this morning who needs to get bathed in the spiritual sense? Have all your sins been washed away once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ? If you've never made that decision, you can make it right now. I'll lead you in a prayer. Just show me that that's your desire by raising your hand high right now. Say, Pastor Terry, that's me. I need to make this decision. Raise your hand high so I can see it. I see your hand right here. The Lord bless you. Anybody else? Right now is the day of salvation for you. Anybody? Let me lead you in the prayer of salvation. And if anyone needs to pray this, pray it. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, right now, I place my faith in You. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You for shedding Your blood that all my sins might be washed away. I invite You right now to be my Savior. Come into my life. Make me a citizen of heaven. Fill me with Your Spirit.
those of you who prayed that prayer this morning and meant it from your heart, and for the first time, perhaps, a miracle has taken place in your life right now. You've been bathed. You are born again. You've been given new life. Father, I pray now for all of us. Let's all stand.